I'm a city boy. I was raised in the city. I went to school in the city. I went to college in the city. And then I went out and pastored country churches full of country people and farmers. And while my mother loves the country, I'm a city boy. I like the city life, not the country. So I know very little about farming, very little about sowing seeds. But I got a bag of seeds here. Bag full of seeds. Let's see what I've got in here. Yes, the city boy version of seeds, seed packs. Here are some zinnias, some pretty flowers. Here are some Thunbergia, Spanish eyes, some more flowers. Aha, some sunflowers. Hey, I made it. Let me sow some seeds on the other side for a second. Here's some nasturtium jewel mix. Uh-huh. Some daisies. Daisies. Aha! Finally got to some food seeds. Here's some beans. They go a lot farther, don't they? Here is some light, here's some cosmos. Uh-huh. And some, another kind of food I like, honeydew melons. Yeah. And, oh, this is good for Halloween. This will be really good for Halloween. Pumpkin. And some morning glories. You notice I'm casting these seeds rather indiscriminately. Some more, some peas. Woo, wow, I sowed all the way out there. And some more daisies, yes. Oh, I'm out of seeds. How sad. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That was very haphazard. That was very haphazard. I just cast them out there. I didn't care where they went. They just flew as far as the air would take them. They landed for the most part on paths. Only one of them came close to a sister over there who will do anything with it that's worth anything. Isn't that right, sister? Uh-huh. Well, that's like the sower in the story. The sower goes out with his seeds and he scatters them, as if he didn't care where they fell. Some fell on the pathway, some fell on rocky ground, some fell down into the ground where the thorns and the weeds were, and only some of them fell onto the good soil. So you've got seeds everywhere. That's not smart sowing. You should only sow where the ground has been prepared, where the soil is good, where you don't have a whole lot of weeds, where you don't have a whole lot of rocks, where you don't have people walking. That's where you should sow your seeds. But this sower is lavish with his sowing, almost prodigal with his sowing. He's prodigious with his sowing. He just sows it everywhere and waits to see what each kind of ground will produce. We've got the pathway ground. In the pathway ground, the seeds quite literally bounce off. The ground is so hard, so compacted from people walking on it for so long, it's not been prepared, it's not ready. Hence the seeds, when they hit it, they simply bounce off. They don't work their way in, they can't put roots down. They can't grow anything. They're just going to sit there. They're going to bounce off the pathway, get walked on by people, kicked off out of the way. The pathway. The pathway is likened to people who hear the word of God but don't understand it. Some people are just unwilling or incapable or not ready yet to hear and receive the word of God. I've known people that way. You can talk to them, you can preach to them, you can teach them, you can speak until you're blue in the face, and they will not hear the Word of God. They will not acknowledge the Word of God. They will not hear and respond. It's like the Word bounces off of them. It's like Star Trek, when you have deflector shields and the photon torpedoes come and they bounce them off. No good. Doesn't get there. Pathway people are people who are so trodden upon in life, who are so pressed down in life, who are so focused in on the comings and goings of life that they're not going to pay attention to the Word of God. They're not ready to receive it. They're compacted, hard, and unwilling to listen. That's the first kind of ground. That's the first kind of people. Then there's rocky ground. Those who receive the Word with joy, but since they don't have much spiritual depth, no roots, and no room for roots in their lives, even though they receive it with joy, when problems come, they have nothing to hold on to. Their faith is blown away. Their lives are filled with rocks, with stones, with obstructions that make it impossible for their roots to go down much through the topsoil. There's a little thin veneer there, but they can't get much deeper. And when the storm comes, when the flood comes, when the trouble times come, they get uprooted and washed or blown away. Rocky people are those who, quite frankly, have no spiritual disciplines. None. Or if they have any at all, it's by rote, not by heart. It's not by gift or grace or spirit. It's by obligation or duty. And that's the first kind of us. Now, I will say to you that for most of us here today, the vast majority of us here today, we have come through being pathway ground. Before we accepted Christ Jesus as Savior, before we entered into the Christian community of faith, before we became Christians, before we exercised faith and received God's grace, before we said yes to Jesus, we were pathway ground. We were pathway ground. God's grace hadn't plowed us and prepared us. We were pathway ground. God's Word bounced off. But once we became receptive to hearing and we received the Word with joy, one of the big problems that we have is we have no depth of spiritual discipline. We have no depth of God's grace. We don't partake of the means of grace. We don't read Scripture. We don't pray. We don't enter into worship. We don't partake of Holy Communion. We don't remember our baptisms. We don't engage in service, in giving, in loving, in helping our brothers and sisters in Christ, in clothing the naked and feeding the hungry. We have a spiritual shallowness that makes it impossible for that Word that we heard and received with joy to plant roots into us. Our lives are filled with rocks and stones, hard, impenetrable rocks and stones. No wonder when the hard times come. No wonder when the difficult times come. No wonder when the flood comes, we get washed away. Our faith has nothing to hold on to if we have a spiritual depth with rocks underneath it, a spiritual depth of nothing and rocks underneath. My friends, that may describe you, that sometimes describes me. I can look back just a couple of years, and I can tell you that there were times in my life, in my ministry, when yes, indeed, I was stony ground. I was rocky ground. Oh, Greg, you're a minister. You preach the gospel. You teach the Word. You pastor churches. You can't possibly have had a rocky or stony ground spiritual existence. Yes, I can. Yes, I did. I did what I did on Sunday mornings by rote. I prayed the prayers. I preached the Word. I celebrated Holy Communion. I did it all. I was saying the words. I was going through the motions. But it was all up here and it was nothing here. It was all in my mind and nothing in my heart. It was all in my mind and nothing in my spirit. I was doing my job. I wasn't being a Christian. I wasn't worshiping. I wasn't studying the Word. I may have been teaching the Word, but I wasn't learning it. My life was filled with rocks and stones. And then when the hard times came, when the pains and the anguishes of the death of loved ones come, in those moments I found myself clinging hard for dear spiritual life, not sure I'd make it because my spiritual depth was so shallow. I would read scripture to get ready to preach or to teach. I'd pray in worship, or when I'd go to see someone, they say, "Preacher, pray for me." I'd pray the platitudinal words, and that'd be about it. I didn't pray myself. I didn't conduct my morning and evening prayer like I used to do. I didn't go and receive communion on Fridays at another church. I didn't worship when we worshiped. I worked. My life was filled with rocks. Some of us may be there today. There's another kind of ground. The thorny ground, the weedy ground. Those who hear the word and understand it, but they become distracted by the cares of the world, the lure of money, the pursuit of fame, the pursuit of fun, and find their spiritual lives cloaked, their spiritual lives choked to death. We are, all of us at times, thorny ground. Our lives become overwhelmed by the weeds of life, by the thorns that choke off our spiritual living, by desires and distractions of fame and money and power, the gods of this world, the God of the holy touchdown, the God of the stick and the ball, or two different kinds, or the God of money, or the God of fame, or the God of fun. Let's go boating instead of to church. Or the God of country. Some of the things that can get in our way, some of the things that can distract us are good things, nominally. Country, family, even church. Anything that gets between us and God is a thorn. Hear that again. Anything, even good things, that get between us and God is a thorn or a weed. And it'll choke you off. It may be a good thing. It may look and sound good, like family or church or country. But if it gets between you and worship, if it gets between you and the Word, if it gets between you and following Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if it gets between you and sharing God's love with all, guess what? It's a weed. I mean, I love football. I mean, with a body like mine, I better like football. And it can get between me and God. I mean, you know, football game, kickoff, Dallas Cowboys, 11:30. What sinner scheduled that as the time for a kickoff, by the way? That's what I want to know. I remember I pastored a church once, Mother remembers this, where the usher would sit in the back, and about 11:15, he'd start doing this. The Church of the Holy Touchdown. I mean, come on. Oh, my brothers and sisters, fun things, good things, not intrinsically bad things, can become weeds and thorns in our lives. And I can look at my life today and identify weeds and thorns in my life. Today, this very instant, right now, I can look at my life and see weeds and thorns. Weeds and thorns that God needs to rip up. I watch my mother working out in the yard. She loves to, one of the things she loves to do is squat down and pull a weed. She gets a thrill out of doing it. Oh, would God get a thrill out of pulling weeds out of my life and out of your life? What weeds, what thorns are choking your spiritual life? You may be reading the Bible. You may be praying. You may be engaging in Bible study. You may be coming to worship. You may be receiving Holy Communion. You may be serving. You may be giving. But something is choking you, distracting you, destroying your spiritual life. I've talked to people, and they say, Greg, I don't understand. I don't seem to be making any headway. I don't seem to be growing. I have these sins that I try to give over to God, and God doesn't seem to want to take them away. What do I do? And I ask, what are you doing? Well, I go to church a couple of times a month. I might read the Bible in church a little bit. I don't go to communion because I don't feel welcome there. What am I doing wrong? And I said, you're doing everything wrong. Being in worship is important. Giving is important. Serving is important. Studying the Word is important. Partaking of Holy Communion is essential to growth in Christ, to growing a harvest 30, 60, and 100 fold, to being good soil. You must partake of the many means of grace. You must read and study the Word. You must pray. You must give of yourself. You must partake of the Eucharist. All of these things are critical. Oh, I don't feel worthy to come to the table of the Lord. We're made worthy by the love, the blood of the Lamb, by the presence of Jesus. We are made worthy by Christ Jesus when we come to the table of the Lord. None of us are worthy on our own. I'm not worthy to celebrate it. You're not worthy to partake of it. But we are made worthy by the blood of the Lamb to come and receive and feast on the presence of Jesus and have our ground weeded out, rocks removed, and turned into good soil. That's the last kind. Good soil folk. Good soil. People who hear the Word, celebrate the Word, allow it to take deep root, not choked off by weeds, but instead grow and produce a harvest 30, 60, and 100 fold. 30, 60, and 100 times normal. God's grace produces miraculous returns in us. If only we will submit ourselves to the will and the grace of God. If only we'll partake of the means of grace and come and celebrate the presence of Jesus in our midst. Good soil is prepared. Good soil was once pathway, which God's Holy Spirit comes and prepares, removing the hardness on the surface, creating good topsoil. The seed comes. The rocks are removed so the roots can go deeper. The weeds are weeded out so that it can become good soil and produce a great harvest. Some people, I hate to say this, but it's true, and it's part of that passage that came between the two readings we had today from Matthew's gospel. Some people appear to be incapable of receiving. Incapable of hearing the Word. Incapable of internalizing the Word. Some people are not yet capable of hearing and internalizing the Word. All of us at one time were pathways. Then God's grace came and prepared us, plowed us spiritually, made us ready to receive and hear the Word. And then, unfortunately, sometimes there are rocks in our living that make our spirituality shallow. We've got to root them out. And we do that by partaking of the means of grace. And then we've got to be weeded. And we do that by partaking of the means of grace. And then we must produce 30, 60, and 100 fold God's wonderful grace, and we do that by partaking of the means of grace. And in all of this, living by faith. Which ground are you right now? This very instant. Are you pathway? If you're pathway, what are you doing here? I kind of doubt that. Are you rocky? You know, there's a play on words here in this passage between the rocky ground that is talked about and the fella in the disciple band named Rocky. Peter, his name in Greek and then in Aramaic before that, Kepha and Petros in Greek. Peter in English, Kepha in Aramaic, it means rocky. There's a play on words here between the ground that is filled with rocks and Peter himself. The idea being that he himself was so full of rocks that even though he was taught by Jesus and lived with Jesus, when the rubber hit the road, when it came right down to it, when it became the most critical moment of his test, he denied his Savior. He had a shallow spiritual depth filled with rocks. But eventually, the rocks were dug out, the weeds were removed, and he became, over a long period of time, good soil. What kind of soil are you? Are you rocky? Are you weedy? Are you good? Are you 50% rocky and 20% weedy and 30% good? Are you 35% rocky and 10% weedy and 55% good? I don't care. We're some mixture. What are you today? What's troubling you today? Commit that to God. Commit whatever it is that is troubling you, whatever rocks, whatever weeds there may be, turn it over to God. Let God take it from you. Let God root out the rock. Let God root out the weed and make you good soil. My friends, that's the whole essence of the Methodist Wesleyan doctrine of sanctification. Allowing the Holy Spirit to dig up the rocks and pull out the weeds to enable us to become good soil. What kind of soil are you? That's the question today. What kind of soil are you? And are you ready to become a sower of the seed, a sower of the word? Because you see, good soil becomes a sower. Like God sharing liberally with all the wonderful grace, the wonderful love, the wonderful presence of Jesus with all. If we were like a good farmer in this world, we'd carefully plant the seeds. We'd only share the gospel with those that we thought expected to receive it. We'd sit there and we'd go, okay, I'm going to share Jesus with her and her and her. I'm not going to share it with him or her or her or her or her or her or her. But I think I'll share it with him and her. And her and him and her. No. We are to be like the sower in the parable, sowing the seeds of God's love and grace to all, without exception, because all need to hear the gospel of Jesus. All need to hear that God loves them and God sent his Son to die for them and that they have nothing to fear because Christ Jesus is with them. And all they have to do is say, God, Lord Jesus, prepare my ground, rip up the rocks, tear out the weeds, and make me good soil. And he will. My brothers and sisters, we're called to be good soil and spread the seeds of God's love to all. Let's do it.
You've been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2011 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.